Shall we look to the Lord? Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word and to see what you have to say to us. We ask that you speak to the hearers and also to the one who is speaking. We ask this in no other name than your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to try this morning to take up the story of Joseph. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the fourth, Joseph. I believe that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus. In Genesis chapter 37, we have the beginning of the story of Joseph. Now, the life of Joseph is really in three parts. The first time we hear of him, he was about 17. And then something happened to Joseph, and he spent the next 13 or so many years in prison. And then the last part of his life, he was a ruler over all of Egypt. Now this is similar to the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who came down into this scene, and we hear of him when he was about 12, and then we hear of him in four books, quite a long time. And we will hear of him again when he rules over the whole world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the story of Joseph is familiar to many people, but it is a very strange thing that we don't hear much about Joseph, what he said. We hear more of what he did. Joseph was the son of Jacob, and Jacob loved Joseph. He loved him because he was the son of his age, old age. He received another son, Benjamin, after Joseph, from his wife, and Jacob gave Joseph a coat of many colors. This is something that we often experience, that when we get older and we have a child, it's precious to us that the Lord gives us a child when we're older. Now, to prove that he loved Joseph, he gave him a wonderful coat of many colors. Now, this is very important, because when we love someone, we should show our love in a practical way. Now, in chapter 37, it says that, but when his brothers, he had 11 brothers, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. It's an unusual family. Unusual family. Now then, Joseph had a dream. He told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So Joseph said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us or rule over us? Shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him even more for his dream and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told his brothers and said, Look, I've dreamed another dream, and this, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. No wonder, because Jacob had a dream too. He dreamt that he saw a ladder and the angels of God went up and down. So he knew that God does give dreams. So this is important, I believe. Now, we find out that Joseph was an obedient boy, young man, I should say. He was 17. And Israel said to Joseph, Please go and see if it is well with your brothers, at verse 14 in chapter 37. And bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now, when his father asked him to go, Joseph said, Here I am. I'm ready to go. He knew his brothers had some problems with him, but when his father asked him to go, he went. So we find out that he was an obedient young man. That's very important. Now, what happened? Now, a certain man, no, then verse 14. Then he said to him, Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron and went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What are you looking for? So he said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, They have departed from here, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said one to another, Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. These were his brothers. Now Reuben heard of it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that we might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. They weren't all quite like some of them. Now, it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic. Does this remind you of something? I believe the Lord Jesus, when he was on the cross, the soldiers stripped him of his tunic or coat. He's a type of the Lord Jesus. And they cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. They sat down to eat a meal. And they lifted their eyes, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brethren, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then the Midianite traders passed by, and the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. 20 shekels of silver. I believe they sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. The Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's what the word says. And the Lord Jesus came into this scene, the people of Israel, these very descendants of these 12, they said, "Away with him. Away with him. We want Barabbas, not Jesus." Jesus was sent from God. He was the Son of God. He was sent by God to save his people, the people of Israel. He was foretold in the Old Testament in many areas. But the people said, "Away with him." Not only his own people, but the Gentiles. They're the ones that stripped him. They joined together against the Son of God. So we see that already this young man is a type of the Lord Jesus. So what did they do? They took Joseph's tunic in verse 21, killed a kid of the goats, dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors and brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's or not?" He recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. Then the story takes a turn. We find that Joseph was now sold into Egypt. And we resume his story in chapter 39. He was taken into Potiphar's house, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. He bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Now, here's the important thing now with Joseph, very important. The Lord was with Joseph. That's an important point. And he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had was put under his authority. This is what happened to Joseph. He was a faithful servant. He became a servant. He was a bond slave. He was there in Potiphar's house, and he received authority over his whole house. He had full charge of his house. But Potiphar was married. He had a wife who had her eye on Joseph. And she said, come with me. And Joseph wouldn't do that. So she grabbed his coat and he ran. And she took that coat and showed her husband, and he thought that there was trouble. So he put Joseph in jail. His wife made an accusation against Joseph, and he put him in jail. So that's the next story. The way downward for Joseph. In chapter 40, we find that Joseph was in jail and something was happening. There was a butler and a baker of the king, Pharaoh, who got in trouble with the king, and they were put in jail with Joseph. And Pharaoh was angry with those two officers and threw them in jail where Joseph was. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, put Joseph in charge, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Now, here's something wonderful. These two had a dream. Each one dreamed. Now, the first story that we mentioned, Joseph had two dreams. Here was two men, each had a dream. Joseph's dream were similar. These two also were similar, but what a difference in result. The baker, the butler dreamed the following. We each had a dream. They said to him, we each had a dream, verse 8, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Interpretations belong to God. Yet he said, tell me the dreams. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, which as though budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. Now, here's an important thing that Joseph says. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Does this remind you of something? The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, remember me. And it has been our joy this morning to remember the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he's the one that went to the cross and suffered in my place and in your place. And he asked us to remember him. And when we remember him, that he suffered and died for you and for me, it gives joy in the heart because we have been redeemed. We sang that song this morning. That's what gives us so much joy, to remember the Lord. He suffered, and then comes joy. Because he was raised from the dead. And he's now in glory, our high priest. So when he says, remember me, we try to do that. We can't always every Sunday do that, because sickness can come and other things. But as often as we do it, we want to remember him. This is our joy. And so Joseph asked the cupbearer to remember him. But he didn't. He forgot Joseph. That can happen too. We can forget the Lord. For 2 years they forgot Joseph. Well, now we have the other man, the baker. He found out that the dream was pretty good for the other fellas, so now he would like to have the same answer. When the chief baker, verse 16, saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. And it takes a little courage to bring an interpretation like that to a man. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Pray that we might never forget the Lord. Now comes the next part of the story, chapter 41. Another dream. But this time it was the king, the ruler of Egypt, Pharaoh. At that time, Egypt was the greatest country in the world, and Pharaoh was their ruler. He stood by a river, and out of the river came 7 cows, fine-looking and fat. They fed in the meadow. Then, behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking cows and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he said and called for all his magicians of Egypt, and all of its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, We each had a dream in one night. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man who was there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams to us. Each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted to us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. Now notice the answer that Joseph gives. It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, Behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of the river. And he told him his two dreams. Then Joseph, in verse 25, Joseph said to Pharaoh, The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dream are one. It's like his own dream when he was 17. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. After these come 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dreams were repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh, after he interprets the dreams, notice he gives advice. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that feed shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that this land may not perish during the famine. And the advice was good in the sight of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. That's a remarkable thing that such a person like Joseph, who was really a shepherd, should come into this circumstance to give advice to a great king like Pharaoh. It's because God gave him some wisdom. This wisdom came from God, just as the interpretation came from God. Now, Joseph had these two dreams in which he told to his brothers, and his brothers hated him for it because it indicated that he was going to lord it over them someday. Well, he found out that the Lord was with him, and the Lord was important to him. You can see that in the few statements that he made. The Lord is going to give the interpretation. The Lord is the one. Do what the Lord says now, and you're going to be well off during the famine. Now the king recognized the wisdom. So what does he do? He makes Joseph the ruler next to him.